Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. 5 simple words. Jesus, I trust in you. We have these 5 words displayed on the wall in the icon of the Divine Mercy, whose feast we celebrate today. We say these 5 simple words 3 times at the end of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We say these 5 simple words in litanies and prayers, and rightfully so, for we are to trust in Jesus if we are to be a disciple of his. So do we really know what "Jesus, I trust in you" means? And would the world be in such disarray today if we did know what this means? The gospel today reminds us that the world has always been in disarray, even in the day of our Lord, and that the disciples struggled themselves with these 5 simple words. Here we have the Lord's disciples hiding in the upper room, behind locked doors, for fear of the Jews. They believed that what happened to Jesus was going to be their fate also. By locking themselves in the upper room, are the disciples acting as if they trust in Jesus? Let's use this question to examine what it is that we are doing in our own lives where we have put aside our trust in Jesus for an upper room behind locked doors. We are at war. The invasion of Ukraine by Russia has the rest of the world choosing on which side they will most benefit from. Governments are jockeying for positions of power and strategy, new relationships and allies, a new world order, so to say. And we fall on the side of our choice. This is the world in disarray. Although it is good and just to pray for the good of the Ukrainian people, those who are unjustly being treated, as well we should, our trust in Jesus impels us to also pray for our enemy. We should also be praying for the conversion of Russia and for our own conversion. If we are going to fall on the side of our choices, our choice should be, "Jesus, I trust in you." We are at war. The abortion industry has invaded every country in the world. It is a word that is used to hide us from the fact that this is a murder of a human being. It is an industry because it doesn't end at the murder of a human being, but in the selling of body parts, birth control, contraception, sexual promiscuity, human trafficking, modern slavery, destruction of the nuclear family, divorce and euthanasia, and every attack on the dignity of the human person. Although it is good and just to pray for a culture of life and for the protection of the dignity of the human person, as well we should, our trust in Jesus impels us to also pray for our enemy. We should also be praying for the conversion of those who participate in this atrocity of abortion and for our own conversion. If we are going to fall on the side of our choices, our choice should be, Jesus, I trust in you. If you haven't heard yet, we are at war. Our educational system has made it their duty to deprive their students of the acknowledgement of God. It has been invaded by Common Core, critical race theory, Planned Parenthood, gender ideology, and the alphabet culture. This indoctrination of our children is disguised under the umbrella of social justice. The Catholic teaching of social justice is this: the virtue which moves one to render social institutions better servants of the community and better facilitators of the common good. Although it is good and just to pray for true social justice, as well we should, our trust in Jesus impels us to also pray for our enemy. We should also be praying for the conversion of those who promote such falsehoods and for our own conversion. If we are going to fall on the side of our choices, our choice should be, Jesus, I trust in you. When I mention that we are at war, the ongoing wars that I just brought forward are the result of the one war that is taking place in us. The war to end all wars. That war of understanding the truth of trusting in Jesus. The war of whether we are going to act according to the trust we say we have placed in Jesus. It is a war that takes place in every decision that we make, whether it be of the magnitude of world needs or just in the decision of how much we are going to tithe our income. If we still happen to hide ourselves in an upper room behind locked doors, will we trust in Jesus when he enters? On a recent vacation, my wife and I were returning from visiting our daughter's family in Oregon and found ourselves on the border of Michigan and Wisconsin to spend our last night in Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin. It was a Saturday night, so we were to go to church the next morning. We didn't have far to go. St. Albert was just two blocks away. Mass was at 8:30 a.m. and we made it there early. And when I am visiting a church, I like to make it a practice to put cash in my shirt pocket for the offering that Mass. I had $15 left from our travels. And the thought came to me to put it all in the offering. Since we had a few hundred miles to go yet, which would include one more stop for gas and a coffee, I talked myself into offering just $5, so I would have enough for coffee. After an ensuing argument with myself, I figured I could afford a $10 offering and proceeded to change out the $5 bill for the $10 bill in my pocket. I was at peace with that decision. So come time to put it in the basket, the Lord was happy to receive it. At the end of Mass, however, Father asked everyone to sit down, and that there was going to be a second collection. But it was for the people of Ukraine. The Lord was not done with me yet. The Lord reminded me that it was his thought that he wanted it all, to show his appreciation of the fact that I gave it all. I dropped the $5 in the basket, and the Lord was at peace. When we arrived at the gas station, we went in to use the facilities and get a cup of coffee. And the clerk behind the counter asked if that was all we were going to purchase today. We said yes, and he told us to go ahead and leave. It was on the house. That was the Lord passing through the locked doors of my reasoning and saying, peace be with you. The wars that we hear of and the rumors of wars that we hear of are of the flesh. The war that we need to fight comes from within. That simple little insignificant decision I made in dropping $5 in the collection basket at Mass, Christ made known to me that his ways are higher than mine. That if we were to fight and win the war within us according to the Spirit, that if our choice will truly be, Jesus, I trust in you, the wars that are occurring in the world according to human standards would cease. What a sign and what a wonder that would be. Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, defending his ministry of being a Christian, indeed, we live as human beings, but we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. If we become this kind of witness of the trust we place in Jesus, more than ever, believers in the Lord, men and women, will be added to us in great numbers. When the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, do you think that they were fighting their battle with divine power to destroy strongholds? Or were they strategizing according to human standards, which allows wars to continue? When Christ appears to them in the locked room, they couldn't believe it. So he shows them his hands and his side, and they come to believe, and he confers his grace on them. Peace be with you. This is the grace we are seeking to be able to discern what is of God and what is not. That peace be with you when we find ourselves behind locked doors. That peace be with you that will stop wars. A peace the world cannot give. We have right now in our midst a wave of woke culture rushing through our corporations and our government and our churches, disguising itself as God. If you refuse to believe it, let me take your hand and place it in the side and the wounds that this culture has procured. The battle cry of the woke culture is diversity, inclusion, and equity. A quick sober look at these words will reveal the confusion the woke culture causes. If you have diversity, you cannot have equity. If you have inclusion, you cannot have equity. If everybody is different and everyone is included, it is impossible to have an in conflict with one another. Now let's take a look at this spiritually. What is the acronym of this battle cry? Diversity, inclusion, and equity. D-I-E. And what does that spell? Die. While the proponents of this woke culture realize this acronym will not work for them, for all the obvious reasons, so they decided to change their battle cry to diversity, equity, inclusion. What is the acronym now of this battle cry? Diversity, equity, and inclusion, D-E-I. And what does that spell? Day, meaning God. Well, my God is a God of order. And confusion is of Satan. My God has never had to change his name. I stand here in the real presence of my God. And remember that as a Christian, I am in the world, not of the world. Those who change their name to fit the times vow to fight like hell to make this happen, as did our Governor Gretchen Whitmer vow to fight like hell to strike down Michigan's law against abortion. Where the bishop is, there also is the church. And I stand with my bishop who says, fight like heaven to defeat the ways of hell, praying fasting and giving alms will find us on the island of Patmos with our brother John, because we proclaim God's word and give testimony to Jesus. John, who shares with us the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Jesus. If we are going to say, Jesus, I trust in you with any conviction, we must know that my Lord and my God, without a doubt, will breathe on us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That when we repeat these simple five words, Jesus, I trust in you, that our time on Patmos is well spent and that the war within ourselves will cease. Where our struggle behind locked doors, as with the apostles, will lead us out into the world to be true disciples of Christ. And may the grace of God be conferred upon you as you go out into the world when you hear these words from Christ. Peace be with you.